welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and we are broadcasting live from the Orpheum Theater in downtown Sioux Falls at the Plain Green Conference. And joining me now is Brooke Orcutt. She is one of the committee members, and she's joining me now at the broadcast table. Brooke, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me. We're just so excited. Like she mentioned earlier, this is the second year we've done the live broadcast, so it's just exciting, and it's a great piece of the conference to kind of give people a little glimpse of what they missed if they couldn't make it. And yeah, we're just happy to be here. So thank you.
So paint the picture about the conference.
Oh, it's a really colorful one. I don't know if anyone's seen our billboards around. We are plain awesome, and the conference couldn't be plain enough. The biggest thing about the conference, I'd say, is that we don't just do speakers. There's a marketplace. So there are people with green ideas and green businesses that show you the things that, hey, you know, I just heard Matt Hine talk about, you know, this HVAC product, and we probably have someone downstairs who's showing something like that. So you can kind of get a little bit of an idea and then possibly a route on how to complete whatever inspires you. We have lots of great speakers this year speaking on all realms of greenness. It's a really holistic approach, where I think in years past, we've always focused on how to build buildings better and, again, apply with green code, whereas this year we're doing a green food emphasis, which Lisa will be on your show in a little bit, and she's far more of an expert than I am. But we're also doing things like pocket neighborhoods and all sorts of little ways just to, I mean, Avera's got a great booth downstairs talking about how to, you know, keep your insides healthy and good, just as that's important for our community as much as the outside part. We have a farmer's market going on at 3 o'clock today that Sioux Falls is welcome to come down to. We're closing the street in front of the Orpheum. We're doing that and door prizes, and there's a trash to treasure competition where we had about 25 entries of people taking junk and garbage and turning it into a beautiful seat cushion, or there's a newspaper dress down there, a chicken coop made of complete scraps. It's truly amazing. I always tell people, I am so glad I didn't enter it, because whatever I would have entered would have been really embarrassing. So lots of good things down there. It's just, like I said, it's our whole thing is sustainability, but it's sustainability as a whole. And that's really what we try and focus on through all the different elements of our conference.
And the level of participation is
it's good. Yeah. So, I mean, we, I haven't seen registration numbers, but we usually have about 250 people. And I mean, for the Orpheum, that's a good space, but we always have a lot of people who they still send us questions if they can't be there. And we do post speakers online after a certain point, so they can always kind of get that information out there. And then there's always plaingreen.org. It's just, it's a resource website. So you can read about all these fabulous people who came, get their books, see their talks on YouTube, and you can get a little bit of piece of that, because we really just want to enrich South Dakota. We don't necessarily want you, I mean, yes, we want you to come to our conference, of course. I shouldn't say that. But we just really want you to better your life and better it for yourself, your family, and your community.
And your target audience is more business related?
It's, like I said, it's kind of changed in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, really, we've been working towards really getting everybody involved. And that's why we brought in, not only do we have things for the architects and the designers and the engineer folks, but we have things for, you know, just the, I always say to myself, I'm the everyday person, because I don't work in architecture. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. So it's like, what would someone like me be interested doing? Farming, that's super popular right now. People want to grow their own vegetables, or they want to know where they come from, so they shop at farmers markets. Pocket neighborhoods, making your neighborhood better. That's one of those things that necessarily, you know, if regular person, they can't build it, but they can really come up with a community that's interested in that. How can we get these, you know, how can we make everything in walking distance, and how can we get parks in our community and things like that? There are things that everyday people can do to really just enhance the area around them.
Now, some projects that have been happening over time with the conference.
Yeah, we had last year we attempted to build a garden shelter in October, and we had a little problem with finding a location, but we actually got it built this fall it got built. It's on Avera on Cliff Avenue, right across from the Prairie Center. I believe it's St. Isidore Garden Shelter is the final name of it, but this beautiful, beautiful structure, and that we actually had Plain Green volunteers from last year come and help build it this year by the time we got just kind of everything ready to go, and their garden is flourishing, so it's nice. We're really hoping that these community gardens, like this one was a prototype, and we're really hoping that it'll expand in the city and kind of to other areas of Sioux Falls. We also do We usually do a green project every year with plarn. We make plarn for homeless, and then people crochet them into sleeping bags and things like that. So that's an activity we do downstairs. Also, they're doing a project where they're screening people to see if they can be bone marrow transplant donors. So that's kind of a different, like I said, it's not really sustainable, but it's about holistic living and, helping out each other and helping out the community. So lots of different things. And then we haven't decided on our next green project yet. So if anybody has any good ideas of what they'd like to see built in the city, plangreen.org, Facebook us, send us your message.
So it's just not around the conference. It's
No, yeah,
year-round.
it's year round. And we also do a lecture series where we do four lectures a year. And then usually Plain Green is the last one where it's just, we want to just keep constantly reminding people of how they can apply some of their principles, lead better lives, things like that. So we try, like I said, the year round, this is the big celebration, this is the big party, but year round, there's always something that we can be, striving and doing to be better.
And next year's conference, has that been set,
You
decided,
know, we're still trying
discussed?
to get through today, but now it's one of those things. We usually take about a month off, but we have usually a speaker list. We start there with our speakers because that's the key component. And these awesome speaker people, they get booked up pretty early, so you got to get on their schedules earlier. So we'll take a month off, and then we'll aggressively see, okay, well, who did people really like, and is there some, can we extend that conversation? Should it end? Should we bring in somebody new? It's kind of a touch and go thing. And then, what new element are we going to do this year? I mean, this year was the farmers market. And then after that, we're not sure where we're going to go. So like I said, we'll take a month off and then we'll get ready for
Plain
Plain
Goat
Green
Design.
13, right? Yeah.
Right, that's next year.
Yeah, next fall. So
All right. Well, Brooke, thank you
you're
for
welcome.
coming on and talking about the conference and for all your help in this broadcast as well. And we're going to have Lisa Taylor put on her headset now and join us in our conversation. Welcome to Innovation.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks.
And you are talking about city farming.
That's
Farming for
right.
everybody.
That's right. That's
Okay.
right. Well, I think a lot of folks are, back in the 70s, it was all about leaving the city and going and finding your 2 to 5 acres and living off the land. And I think the new movement now is folks seeing land all around them in the city and seeing productive space not necessarily being used to grow food for people. So on larger scales, like Will Allen in Milwaukee with Growing Power, but also on a small scale, on an individual scale, folks are wanting to grow some food for themselves and for their kids and expose their kids to that kind of thing. For freshness and flavor and variety, it's great to grow a few things just outside the back door.
And do you have to have a plot
No,
of land?
no.
No, what do
Well,
you
the
need?
thing about the city is a lot of time, what vegetables need is sun and good fertile soil and water. And sometimes when you look around your city lot, you plant a few trees for shade and for privacy, and suddenly the sun is gone. It's very shady, but it's real sunny over on the driveway. Perfect place for some large pots, and you can grow anything in a container. You just need a big enough container.
And what is the most common types of vegetables? I mean, can you really put lettuce in a container?
Absolutely. It
Can
needs to be a big container. You know the little pots that you see at the nursery? Those are for indoor plants. I'm talking 15 to 20 gallon container, something that's, 18 inches deep or deeper, something that can sort of mimic the soil profile you would have if you planted right in the soil, right in the ground. I like to grow herbs, but I grow everything in containers. I grew onions in containers. I've got carrots in containers right now. I'm growing beets. I've grown huge climbing squash. So anything can be grown in a container. You just need a big enough container. I'm growing this year for the first time in kiddie pools. In some in some developing countries, growing in containers is what they can do. They found those kiddie wading pools were very inexpensive containers. And you've got to just, yeah, I know, she's looking at me like I'm crazy. But they look fine out in my backyard. I wouldn't necessarily maybe put them in the front yard. And they're great for growing strawberries in because strawberries are shallow-rooted plant. And then I can take this copper barrier and put it around the pool and keep it slug-free. And in my neck of the woods, that's a big deal. So I'm always looking for something new and something different, trying to push the envelope to see how much food I can grow in a small space.
And what about animals?
Well, you know, I was asking around about what is the discussion going on in Sioux Falls? Mm-hmm. Is it about chickens? Mm-hmm. And everybody said, yeah, yes, it's about chickens.
It's about chickens.
And they kind of are the gateway urban livestock. I think a lot of it started with chickens. And I've had chickens in the city for almost 15 years. And I think there have always been a few animals kind of back behind the shed. Mm-hmm. I think folks are real interested both for entertainment, because chickens are hilarious to watch. Mm-hmm. Giving kids a chance to care for an animal that can live in a small urban space, and fresh eggs are beyond compare. For me, I also get the added benefit of the chicken manure to enrich my garden. So for me, I've got all kinds of stuff going on. And the final thing that my chickens do for me is they're my composters. So all the weeds and stuff that I weed out of my garden, I throw into the chickens and they eat it and they convert it to manure and I recycle it right back into the garden. So save some time and energy on my part managing the compost.
And they eat bugs too, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Chicken? Oh, yeah. Okay. They're great. A great community thing too. A great way to get to know your neighbors is to put a chicken coop in the backyard. You'd be like, well, what's going on over there? And then you hand them over some fresh eggs, and they break those eggs open in a skillet, and the yolks are so deep orange, and they stand up high in the frying pan, and they're just not at all like the stuff you buy at the store. So good.
Should there
are
be?
You ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Well. Yeah. Should that, I mean, but the conversation in Sioux Falls is, you know, on regulations.
Yeah.
And so should there be regulations?
Well, I think there should be some, because otherwise, you know, small lots, chickens can fit into small spaces. You might have larger commercial type things in the middle of the city. And I'm not sure we really want that. And we want them to, you know, a size that's manageable and reasonable so that they don't become a nuisance, either the noise, the smell, or the dust. So I think, you know, the city of Seattle started years ago to say people could keep 3, and people tended to keep more like 5. And so actually our city governance just increased the number to 8. So more realistic. So they found folks were doing it anyway. So in response to the constituency, they changed the regulations so folks were more within, you know, the rules. And really, as long as you don't have a rooster in town, they're pretty quiet. And like I said, a few fresh eggs over the fence will mend any kind of thing that might be going on with your neighbors.
Gives a different definition to a pocket neighborhood, which is what we'll be talking about next. How's that for a segue?
Well, you know, I know I was talking with some folks last night, and I know some people who have taken down their fences so that several neighbors in a row are sharing the same backyard. Mm-hmm. Might be 3 lots in a row. Mm-hmm. And they've decided to go in on a garden together. So in one backyard, there's the garden, and maybe they want chickens as well. And so in another backyard is the coop, but it's managed and owned by all 3 households. And so what a wonderful,
and shared.
And what a wonderful way to build community and to get fresh produce and, you know, all the rest. It's, you know, little unintentional pocket community.
How big does a coop need to be?
Depends on how many chickens you have.
So you have 5.
They need about 2 to 3 square feet per chicken. Yeah. So I have an 8x8 enclosure and a small little hen house that's about big enough for, I usually have 4 chickens. So I have 4 chicken butts worth of hen house. And that's, you know, and that's what they need. They don't need a ton of space.
And you don't have to have a rooster.
No, just like you and I, they have eggs and they they lay them every day. Without you only need a rooster if you want fertilized eggs. So if you want to raise your own chickens, then you need a rooster. Roosters tend to be noisy and aggressive. So I think most folks will buy their chicks already sexed, little day or 2 day old chickens from the feed store. And mostly those are going to be all hens. So
we've spent a large part of time of leaving the farm
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Over, you know, over the last 30 years, uh-huh. we're going into the cities and leaving the farm, and farms are getting larger. And now we want what? The best back?
I think we miss the connection to the land. And I think that we are losing our connection with food. So much of the food, we don't know who grew it. We don't know where it was grown. We don't know how it got to us. I think that's clear in the rise of farmers markets and the popularity of farmers markets. Folks want to know their farmer, and they want to know that the food was grown in a safe way. And I think, above all, we just really miss a connection to the earth. Being connected to the earth makes you feel better. And so I think there's a number of different reasons. A lot of young families want a safe place for their children to be out in nature. And we find that, you know, nature's not something you drive to. It's right outside your door. And so we really talk about planting not just vegetables, but a lot of plants that'll support beneficial insects and birds and that kind of thing. So you really have more than just a vegetable garden. You really have an urban oasis.
So you don't want to just say, I just want tomatoes and cucumbers.
You can do that too.
It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
It's whatever you like.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it'll, you know, it's easier for your garden to survive if you support the beneficials and invite them in. We're definitely not going to squirt any kind of poisons or pesticides that kill animals or plants. And we're going to garden right. organically. And part of the tenets of organic gardening is to support biodiversity. I find when I have lots of different flowering plants, I invite a lot of wildlife into my garden, and they keep it in balance for me. So makes it a lot easier for me. That's a, you know, I've definitely worked on it progressively over about 20 years. So if you're interested and you have a hankering, a tomato and a cucumber is a great place to start. You might actually get kind of crazy though. So beware. You might start growing even more. And then pretty soon you might be talking about goats or rabbits or chickens.
Rabbits.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you do with rabbits?
Well, a lot of people are raising rabbit as a local protein source. That's not something I'm doing, but I know a lot of city farmers that are. But if you rabbits are easy, they're docile, great source of fiber. If you're part of the knitting and crocheting crowd, Angora rabbits are great high top shelf fiber for that kind of thing. So a lot of different reasons to do that. And I think, you know, we are interested in caring for some living thing, and these animals, they give us that.
Rabbits are quiet.
They are quiet, docile.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a goat in your backyard? Really? Do you have a goat?
I don't have a goat because they take too much work.
Okay.
But that is something to think about. You need two goats if you're going to have a goat, because they're a herd animal and they will behave much better if you have two. Most people keep in goats for their milk, so they're keeping miniature dairy goats. But they take a lot, as I researched, because I was like, ooh, the goats. If you've ever hung out with a goat, you would want a goat, because they're so great. They're like the most beloved dog. They're so social and gentle, and oh, they're wonderful. I hung out with some goats at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show in one of our demonstration gardens, and I was just convinced. They're so great. But then I learned that they really require a lot more care than I'm able to give them. So at another time for me.
Another time.
At another time for me. Yeah.
A lot of, especially urban land, I mean, lots aren't always that big
yeah.
in the city
yeah.
for that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, you would definitely need like 400 square feet for a couple of goats. So you mm-hmm. do need a little bit bigger lot. For growing vegetables, we were talking earlier about, you know, going up. A lot of plants will climb or can be grown vertically. So you take up a little space down below, but you might have a climbing squash that climbs up on the second story deck and along there, which is not productive space. I've got pumpkins growing on a big trellis right now in Seattle. Yeah. Yeah. I have a big pumpkin that's about 7 or 8 feet above my head. And it's sitting on a crossbar of my trellis, and it's getting orange.
Hmm.
Yeah. You don't believe me.
I believe you. I do. I do believe you. I'm waiting for it to fall on somebody's head.
Well, I have
maybe.
It slung. I did put a sling in there
okay.
to kind of keep it so it didn't pull the whole vine down. And I did have to provide some support for it. But the plant itself really wanted to climb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about the growing aspect of a a pumpkin, it just wants to take over. That's another one. Like, I don't have enough space for a pumpkin. It'd take over my whole yard. So this was a great opportunity for me to actually try growing it up the side of my deck. Doing great.
You make it sound like people like me could
could
succeed. I kill
really
things.
Could.
It's a wonder my children survive, actually.
Well, you know what? There's a couple things you can do. One of the things that I really talk about is I think that we make it hard on ourselves by putting the garden too far away. If you have not been successful, then start small. A big container right next to the main path that you walk by every day when you go from your car to the front door. You look at it. Oh,
I should water.
I should water. Yeah. And make sure the water's easy to get to. But if you put your vegetables close by in places that you frequent often, you'll be more likely to care for them and to be ready when they're and when it's time to harvest.
Okay.
You can do it.
All right. See, it's not just me, though. It's everybody listening.
I know.
Right.
You all can do it. Okay. Everyone can do it. If I can do it, you can do it.
All right, Lisa, thank you very much for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having me. It's been great to visit Sioux Falls.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Lisa Taylor joining us. And when we come back, we will learn a little bit about Pocket Neighborhoods. You're listening to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.